What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're back for part two of Friday Morning GM this week. A huge, busy first week of free agency. Tons of impact on the Ravens, including a number of free agents lost, which we're going to talk about now. Voss, how you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to discussing some of these compensatory picks they're scheduled to receive back. And I guess we should start with Patrick Queen. Did not receive on the open market what many were expecting, only under $14 million a year. And to make matters pour salt in the wound more, it's what the Ravens are tribal.
Yes, it certainly impacts the Ravens comp pick. It's with the Steelers. Queen is gone. And it's just not good across the board. But I go back to a tweet that Patrick had earlier this year where somebody says, what about 4 years for $68 million? And he said, no, he said, like, emojied back with a thumbs down or something and said, you know, it's going to be much higher than that. I've got to say, I really thought his market value was going to be higher than that, but it's clear that some of the concerns about him going back to a Mike role are still there. And, you know, being the leader, he'd probably be the signal caller in Pittsburgh. At least he might be. They might leave it at
Fitzpatrick. I think they're going to keep it Fitzpatrick because PQ doesn't have that talent. So that's why maybe he made sense there, not other places.
Oh, that's a pretty severe thing for a inside linebacker not to have is not be able to be the green dot guy. But, you know, Patrick Queen's years, the Ravens paid pretty heavily for him in terms of draft capital and somewhat heavily in terms of actual cap because he was a first-round pick. For really a player who was on the upswing for his entire time with Baltimore, did not start off in a good place. So he's different than a Linderbaum, say. Linderbaum started off as a fairly average center in 22, mm-hmm. who was a bad pass blocker, but a very good run blocker. And it's a great place to start. When you're Patrick Queen and your starting is terrible as a rookie, you have a long way to make up and to earn that first round value. And obviously both players drafted a similar spot, 25 and 28.
Yes. I think looking back on it, it's fair to, I think it's probably on the borderline, whether they received good ROI on their investment there. First round investment on linebacker took about a year, maybe 2.5 seasons to really get up to speed. Had to trade for Roquan, second round pick, and pay Roquan because he couldn't handle Mike. And then he only get a fourth round comp back. In the meantime, he did have, you know, Pro Bowl all pro year. So kind of right there on the borderline. Trenton Simpson, I believe, should be an adequate replacement, maybe with some sort of platoon system, depending on situation.
Yeah. I would agree. And I don't think we know who Trenton Simpson is yet. So I'm not ready to say he's a three down linebacker. He's a two down linebacker. He's primarily a third down linebacker, and he's a converted safety. So that could honestly be a reasonable answer that he's, you know, a guy you bring in on second and 10 and you leave him on there for other obvious passing downs. I think the recency bias towards the committed nickel is probably going to stay. And the fact that Zach Orr played his career as the being a beneficiary, being a committed nickel weak side linebacker, is something that will probably lead to that being the first choice. But it wouldn't surprise me if they had to swap at some point, because Simpson is just not exactly the player. It's a third round draft pick. Sometimes those things really work out and sometimes they don't. He's not a one, you know. I think back to the show episodes and I'm thinking it's pucks, not friends, you know. It's something they tell Matt LeBlanc when he's trying to be on Jay Leno's show. It's by the way, it's a great series if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. I think Simpson should be fine. I think the strength at safety maybe allows you to sacrifice a little bit of coverage from your weak side / dime safety spot. The next play, so fourth round compensatory pick is what they're projecting now. The next player on the list was another player that went to a divisional rival, and I'm going to get it right this time, Geno Stone, not Geno Smith, $7.5 million to the Bengals. Bengals, long history of ball-hawking safeties, and they went out and paid him, also retained Von Bell, so their safety tandem is pretty well situated. That compensatory pick is projected to be canceled out by the Derrick Henry signing.
Right. So, the 2 years, $15 million. It's good for you money, as far as I'm concerned, with Geno Stone. The Ravens can't pay that. The guy deserves it in terms of being the ball hawk he was last year, helped the Ravens win some ball games, no doubt about it. One of the things that I really won't miss about Geno Stone is some of the bad tackling that really characterized his play in the second half of the season. In fact, Geno Stone is off to an incredible start as a tackler and then was terrible for the last 10 weeks or so of the season. In fact, when he could have been defensive player of the month in October, he had an interception in four games. It really cost him that award, the fact that he missed a bunch of tackles that month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. So, but I think that's a good contract for Geno. Probably a little bit more than I expected. As far as replacements, they're pretty thin at safety now. I think they probably need to add one veteran, whether that's Darrell Worley, or maybe they can add one of the players that was released by another team cheap. And I think you also need a mid to late round pick. And I would prefer someone also in that Geno mold, as far as more of a free safety than strong safety. If you put somebody like that on the back end with Marcus and you bring Kyle Hamilton down, it really unlocks a lot of different things for your defense.
A lot of different value, no doubt about it. And I'm in the same position. I'm very bullish on bringing Worley back, because I think he meets the split safety need that they have. I think he showed enough in his playing time this last year. That'd be good. I don't know the status of his injury again. It might be a case where the Ravens have health concerns they can't overcome, but I'd be very bullish on bringing him back. Worley, from the preseason, one of the things that the Ravens do occasionally preseason to win games is that they'll put a single player on the field, often a safety, late in the game. And that player is the most dominant guy on there, playing against all these bumbling first year, guys who won't be around. And right. Worley knows exactly where to be, knows how to read an inexperienced quarterback. And the way he took over that first game that extended their win streak, I think, to 24, was remarkable. He has those back end skills that I think are the Ravens really like. He didn't miss any tackles this last year, which is really, really good given this amount of playing time. And he played well on special teams. So, you have a player who can help you a lot of different ways. I think he exactly meets the standard. In fact, he's very similar to Geno in terms of what he gives the team. Not a little older, but similar.
Yeah, converted corner. Agreed. Next up on the list.
Before you move on, I'm sorry. It's a little more. In terms of how many safeties they need, I agree with you. I think they need three more safeties. So they've got Williams and Hamilton are the only two guys that are signed already for this next year. And so unless you count somebody like Stevens as a safety, which no way can the Ravens afford to have him move there. Ardarius Washington as safety. I think they need him as the primary slot corner when they don't want Hamilton there. So they had Mollett snaps, they had Hamilton. They had Hamilton snaps last year. I think it'll be Washington and Hamilton this year. Mm-hmm. So they need, I would go with a draft pick. The Ravens have a great record of sixth round and later finding a safety with a very specific skill set that meets their situational needs. Dimebacks were typically the guys drafted in that position, but you can find split field safeties at that point too that are perfectly good. Essentially getting a free safety kind of thing rather than a pure run fitter. A cheap vet is a possibility. I don't think they need to go that way. And they probably need to build up the practice squad again with a couple of undrafted guys that they like. Still have the possibility of re-signing Jeremy Lucien now. So that'd be a one possibility, but they have others as well. And last year they had two guys on the practice squad for most of the year, Andrew Adams, and then DeAndre Houston Carson. Houston Carson ended up being a starter for Houston.
The season went on, so
in the playoffs.
No, he started the playoff game against the Ravens. Yeah, safety's a sneaky need for sure coming up into this offseason. You need depth there. Marcus hasn't been the most healthy, and you need succession planning, and you need to free up Hamilton to be able to come down. So I wouldn't be opposed to a little bit of an earlier pick, even like a fourth rounder, now that they seem like they're going to have quite a few of those. But, we'll see how it shakes out. Ready to move on to John Simpson. So he cashed in on the expanding guard market, even though he had a tough season, particularly from a penalty standpoint. We had a $6 million APY over the cap, is projecting a sixth-round compensatory pick in exchange for John Simpson's departure.
It's a little bit of a head scratcher there. Happy for Simpson. Happy he got a good deal in terms of how he played. The last 7 games of the season, including the two playoff games, he had a D or a D plus as I scored it. Mm-hmm. He had a D and a C in the two games before that. And he had some good games early in the year. He actually was playing pretty well. And I liked a lot of what he was doing, but the problem was the penalties really caught up with him. And he had, let me get this straight here. 63 is 21, 105 yards of penalties on the season. And Simpson came to the Ravens with a guy who had one penalty every 95.4 snaps in his time with – you've heard this stat already with the Raiders – and improved all the way to one every 95.5 snaps with the Ravens. So by about the year 3000, he'll be good in that stat.
Right. I saw a graphic, I don't know, maybe a month ago where it said – players, most penalized players in the NFL, and both Ronnie Stanley and John Simpson were way up on the list.
Yep.
So, as far as replacement, I think Andrew Vorhees and Salah and maybe a mid-round draft pick to add to the competition, probably good. I think, as you said, we've got to find places to save, and I think offensive guard is a pretty good one.
Yeah, I do too. I think they really need to extract whatever value they can from Cleveland. I think he meets their needs in terms of creating level two run opportunities. You want pushers and not just stand-up guys, guys who can pass block. And Cleveland can give you a little bit of pass blocking in theory. He's been pretty good when he's been on the field, honestly. But, when we've seen him really be extraordinary, it's in getting push late in football games against tired lines. And by the way, I don't believe any of this Derrick Henry bullshit about he gets better as the game goes on. I think the defense gets tireder because they're getting pushed around. I think Derrick Henry, is pretty much the same guy, and that's a good thing. But I think it's mostly about defenses. So anyway, the Ravens could be a push the other team around, particularly with those two guys, with Voorhees and Cleveland. There's no sign to me that Salah is an obvious jump in the fray guy. He's in the competition. He's in the discussion. But he was not ready to play last year. And I hope he's gotten stronger, and there's a lot of position specific skills that he's improved on in this offseason. He's really focusing on that because if he's 120% of the player he was last year, he will not be competitive for either guard spot.
Right. Right. That's a nice way of putting it. He looked like a multi-year developmental before he's ready. And, you know, so we'll see. It's a good guard class. You know, I think they probably take one guard somewhere. Where, you know, BPA can dictate that. But I'm personally not too concerned about guard necessarily.
Would you draft three offensive linemen in total? I mean, I would definitely draft two now, and I'd want a tackle, and I'd really, really, really want a left tackle, but I'm not sure the Ravens are going to get that at 30. And then I want a guard also, just to have a three to make two competition.
I think so. I think probably in a perfect world, you get a tackle who needs a year of seasoning, but he's good enough at guard the first year. And then probably maybe another tackle. You know, so a lot of these guys, most of the time they can kick inside. Most everybody kicking, if you don't have the feet for tackle, you kick inside the guard. If you don't have some, you know, the strength for guard, you can kick inside the center if you learn how to snap. So there's good versatility, but you can't kick outside. There's the going the other way doesn't work as well.
Right. And building your offensive line with interior offensive line is like acquiring a pitching staff full of relievers and trying to make a starting rotation out of that. You can't do it. And I've been very frustrated with the lack of ability to find left tackles easily for the Ravens. They've done a little bit of trying, but they've had some make do situations with players like McCary. It's not like McCary's been a bad player. But he hasn't really been the left tackle we'd wanted. He's just a serviceable, what do you call it? The smaller tires that you put on your car to just get you on the road. When you have a small car, you have a super small spare. It's like an undersized spare tire.
The little donuts. They don't do that anymore. Donuts. I know what you mean. Okay. Yeah. They call them the little donuts, I think. Yeah. That's a good point. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where the draft's over and you're scrambling, signing Alejandro Villanueva. And then, you know, platooning DJ Fluker and Tyree Phillips at one spot. You know, it's tough. You want to be strong at tackle. That's one of the very most crucial places to be strong at on the whole roster.
Right. Yep. So either two or three linemen, I think I'm hearing both of us say in terms of who they draft.
Agreed. Next on the list, and I think this one's going to hurt a little bit, Ronald Darby, 2-year deal, $9.5 million, I believe, 4.25 per year. Pretty good pay bump from what he made with the Ravens. Supposedly going to net a 6th round comp, unless some other players depart and they count instead. I do think this is cornerback 3, particularly boundary or perimeter cornerback 3, is a top need right up there with offensive tackle and receiver.
Yeah, I would agree. And they need to get young at cornerback. They're very old now at the position. Darby wasn't helping in that respect, but he was a hell of a productive corner in 2023. And the Ravens kind of yo-yoed him in and out of the lineup. And he was the guy who really succeeded, started as the left corner for the Ravens. Played very well, had the 5th lowest yards per target of all cornerbacks in the entire NFL with 300-plus targets. Now, the system, McDonald's system, definitely benefited the corners who played underneath of the too high shell. Definitely benefited that. But it limits their responsibilities, and Darby certainly at his age could certainly benefit from that, as did Stevens. But the Ravens are going to have real pressure to find another productive cornerback while also going into the draft and finding a guy. So I think they've got a signing they still have to make at corner of a vet guy they think they can get something out of. And that probably comes after the comp pick period is done. Doesn't have to if the contract is really cheap, by the way. The Ravens have tons of offset players that they've lost this year. But it could come after. And then, you know, I think if you look at the starting cornerbacks right now, they've got Humphrey, they've got Stevens, and they've got what I'm calling Hamilton and Washington at slot. But there's lots of questions after those guys. There's absolutely no depth in the group. And whatever they've got in terms of Trayvon Mullen or whatever JAD might still give you, for example, you know, you got to look at with, a jaundiced eye.
Yes. I'd like to double dip in the draft if the opportunity presents itself. Similar to tackle, You know, you have a bad tackle situation that could derail your season faster than almost anything. I think that same thing applies to corner. I will agree that McDonald did make life a little bit easier. Do you think Orr will be able to maintain that?
I think he's going to try. I think it's going to be like Monken maintaining some of the really positive aspects of Roman's run offense. I think they did a pretty good job of that, and they still got good productivity out of their backs. They do have, you know, having Hamilton, having Roquan, having Matabike, having Marcus Williams back and healthy should make a big difference in terms of helping other players on the field. So I would be hopeful that Orr would try and maintain that, not go back to a lot of cover zero looks, not go back to a particularly aggressive pass rush at all. And hopefully they find the players who can make that work by going out and getting players to replace Clowney and Van Noy.
Yes. Yes, definitely. That's a big question. I think probably the one place where they need to still earmark some free agent dollars is outside linebacker. But Wiggins is in the draft. McKinstry is sort of vacillating between first and second round. So there could be certainly a chance corners BPA 30, and that would be good.
I'm from what I'm guessing right now, I think Wiggins will be gone by 30. But McKinstry certainly a possibility. Anyway, there will be players, and I the only thing I'd be fearful of happening this year, which I really don't want to see happen again, is that the Ravens chase the price of the cornerbacks all the way down the market until they get a ineffective player, and that's what they got with Caillou Kelly. I hated that pick, like no Ravens pick I've hated in recent times, and it was not one positive reason. And a bunch of good cornerbacks got drafted, and it seemed like they were getting overdrafted all the way down. But on the other hand, you have to look at that as some of the league realizing that those cornerbacks are pretty damn important. And the Ravens certainly didn't get value out of that pick.
Right. I've had this, I guess, a tangential conversation. Is value team specific or league specific? I personally think it's league specific, but some folks say, well, this guy's worth more to this team, so it's worth paying more. I sort of disagree with that because you're getting value because your scheme props up a certain position, but you still shouldn't pay more than the league is willing to for that.
Completely agree. I think that the you want to get BPA, but the specificity of your system should provide you with draft value. So when the Ravens zigged and zagged by being the first team to introduce a quarterback that was going to be the focus of the offense in terms of Lamar Jackson, the focus of the offense in the way that he is as a zone read guy, that was different, and they derived real value from that. And when you're different from everybody else, you should figure out how you derive value from that and not then be forced into need picks as often because your positions of need are not everybody else's positions of need.
Right. Right. So maybe there is some of that, if they can maintain the disguise coverage and the too high of McDonald, then maybe corner isn't as important as it was for, Wink Martindale defense. I've always been a huge fan of cornerback position. Chris McAllister is one of my favorite players. Jimmy Smith was, Marlon is. So I hope that's not the case, but it's a possibility. Anyway, should we move on to Devin Duvernay? Bigger contract than I expected for him as well, $4.25 million per year. Also, sixth-round comp projected. I don't think you need to do a whole lot to necessarily replace him as far as Tylan Wallace is natural to take over the return man. But you're probably going to want to roster six receivers on the depth chart on the 53.
Six on the 53 and five on game day. That's a good possibility. Yeah. And depending on how your special teams is, it might even be six and six. But first of all,
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kevin Duvernay, a very fine Ravens player. You know, he contributed a lot to the Ravens over his 4 years here. He did whatever the team asked him to do. I never heard a bit of complaining from the guy in terms of he was unhappy with the situation. And if there's anybody who had a right to be, it was him in year four in terms of having basically a zero influence on the offense. He was barely targeted the entire season. And it was unfortunately something that you know, I think if I had to point to one thing I really didn't like about Monken, it was the overuse of Flowers on gadget plays early in the season. And I would have really loved to see him be used more as a deep threat, more as an intermediate threat too, and you know, really manipulate the defense that way and keep Duvernay in the role that he had excelled in 22, which is being the gadget guy. And that was frustrating to me. But I also look at the 2 years, $8.5 million. No way the Ravens were going to pay that. And I'm just happy as hell for him that he got that kind of money. It won't result in a comp pick for the Ravens. It might be an offset, but it won't result in a comp pick for the Ravens. But happy for Devin to go to another AFC team at that price.
Agreed. Let's move on to Gus. Potential sixth round pick for his contract. Now, they can only have a maximum of 4 comp picks. Just a reminder there. But $3.25 million reuniting with Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh in Los Angeles Chargers.
Cheap as hell, as far as I'm concerned. That's a really good deal. And 2 years, $6.5 million. I look at that and I say, how much less did the Ravens really want to pay him? Or did the Ravens already decide they wanted a different sort of back and get a Henry here? I look at that number and I'm thinking, really love for the Ravens to be in at that price for what potential savings it could add otherwise.
I agree. If you could keep Gus, basically you could have kept Gus and Moses or Derrick Henry. That's if you want to add dollars. And go ahead.
Yeah, you want to talk another player that they could have kept. I mean, the Derrick Henry money may be the money that keeps the Ravens from re-signing Jadeveon Clowney. So even if you don't believe Moses was the guy, I'd say that value is 100% there. Then you got to believe Clowney might be the value, the way he drove the defense last year, or drove the pass rush in a lot of ways. I just continue to struggle with the expenditure.
I agree. I definitely agree. Just two more quick ones here. Delshawn Phillips, $2.6 million, and the long snapper.
I want to go back to Gus for just a second because leaves the Ravens. And we talked about this a little bit in the first episode where we're talking about Derrick Henry. By the way, go download that episode if you haven't already. It's a really good show. Voss makes some great points about lots of things, and it's really worth listening to. But in terms of Gus, he leads the Ravens with 4.9 yards per carry career with a NFL record, 300 plus NFL carries. Every back's ever had 300 plus carries. He had a 57.4 success rate. Now, the information on this only goes back as far as PFR has play-by-play data, which goes back to 1994. That is not an insignificant 30-year period for which Gus is the single best running back. The only guy who's close to him right now is Kyren Phillips, who's also at 57.4 and has about 250 carries. He hasn't been through any sort of decline phase or any kind of variation in play. Could well be a very good back for the Rams, but he's at exactly the same level. Otherwise, if you look at the other players, Saquon Barkley, career 42.5% success rate. Derrick Henry, career 49.3% success rate. So yes, some of it's Lamar Jackson, maybe some of it's the offensive line, maybe some of it's Greg Roman's excellent scheme, because hey, he deserves his credit too in terms of this. But Gus Edwards was one hell of a back, and that's not the extent of his contributions, because he also had 10.1 yards per target, which is the top in Ravens history as well for, right, for 20-plus targets. So,
extremely efficient player. Extremely efficient. Up there in the pantheon, for sure, of best undrafted free agents in team history.
Yes.
Michael Pierce, a few others, but he's up there. And
you bring him back for the Ring of Honor. Do you think he's in consideration for that?
The thought crossed my mind. I don't think he quite had enough longevity. If he could have kept it going for another 2-3 years. But Gus has really been a focal point and a centerpiece of the team since Lamar's been with the team. So you're losing I think Henry's probably going to be an upgrade. But I think, some people, I guess, just soured on Gus last year, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I think he had a fine year. The Ravens, I believe, were the fifth best when he took out Lamar's rushing, just a running back efficiency, which wasn't what it was in Romans, but they were still fifth best last year. And yeah, Gus was obviously the main guy.
If you look at the DVOA rankings for running backs, all of the Ravens running backs are near the top. They're all in the top 15. Right. Hill, Edwards, and Mitchell, of course. Mitchell is like one of the greatest of all time in that regard. But anyway, they're all near the top. And they asked Gus to do a lot more of the short yardage workload this last year, including near the goal line, which is very difficult, right, by the way. And he had a very high success rate on those carries, contributing to an overall success rate that was still quite good. And even though he was down a little bit in that category, might have been 50, 51, 52% last year, you know, the Ravens overall were 54%. He had a big touchdown year, and that's not an accident. And it's usually the big backs, Le'Ron McClain and the guy for the Packers, A.J. Dillon, yeah, who don't really get recognized for all of the valuable short yardage work they do, because people focus on yards per carry because it's a simple to understand stat. Success rate, much more telling in terms of giving you information about a running back.
Very good. Very true. Very true. So we wish Gus the best, and hopefully, except when he's playing the Ravens. I think out of all these players, he's my favorite that left. When you look at the list, you want to ask yourself which players benefited from the Ravens scheme and which players benefited the Ravens that actually, you know, provided impact above and beyond. And I think most of these players that they let go, I think they made the right choice. I don't think that necessarily would apply to Clowney if he does end up. Apparently he's visiting Carolina, but they had, I believe, also Chase Young in to visit. Maybe they get one, Ravens get one, could be good. Just to wrap up the departures, Delshon Phillips left $2.6 million per year, and the backup long snapper during the injury was Ott. He latched on for $1.46 million. Neither of those or Gus are even in the compensatory calculation now, but they do have some offset potential. The question is, can Clowney, Zeitler, Van Noy, even Tyler Huntley, can they generate a better comp pick if they do leave?
Let me get this straight. Delshon Phillips, 5.2 over 2 years or 2.6 over 2 years?
2.6 was the APY. Was it a 2 year?
Wow. Congratulations, Delshon Phillips. That is a great contract, and that more than fully reflects how valuable you were to the Ravens. So fantastic. Backup inside linebacker, gave the Ravens a lot of value in that, made plays in camp. Like, this is the Ravens got a new star linebacker here. Became immediately that backup for Roquan that they would occasionally need, and also could play the backup will, and a great special teams player. I'm sure he'll be the special teams leader down there in Houston fairly quickly. Well-earned contract. I think it's more than the Ravens typically pay for those kind of players. And you look at Malik Harrison being re-signed, I think in a relative sense, that makes a lot of sense for the Ravens.
1 year deal, Ken. I just want to clarify that. I'm looking at it right now from Aaron Wilson. 1 year, 2.6, 2.3 guaranteed. Still more than the Ravens are willing to pay. What was the name? Yeah. Chris Board. Chris Board did a similar thing, and then he just got too expensive, and they let him go, and they cycled through the next guy. So, I thought he could have been a piece to the puzzle at inside linebacker, but apparently not. I think Josh Ross from Michigan. Yep. He'll probably take over some of that, but they probably still need one more linebacker because you got to be too deep there, depending on where they deploy Malik Harrison.
Yep. UDFA probably. Malik's body's been reshaped, so he's really an outside linebacker at this point. And honestly, right, having a fairly limited role is good, but it also is good when you can play either two down Mike if the team really needed you to do that, mm-hmm, outside linebacker when they need you to do that. I mean, that's the Albert McClellan way. And if he wants to have that kind of longevity with the team, which, you know, I think he could. I think Malik was signed for 2 years, right? Is that correct?
1 year. Well, only one. 1 year. I was surprised by that. It's only a 1 year deal. Yeah.
Okay. So, hopefully
this any is thoughts happening. On Clowney, Zeitler, Van Noy, or Huntley returning better than a 6-round comp? Because that would just push DuVernay off the table.
Yes. I think Clowney will return better than a 6-round comp. I think Zeitler will return better than a 6-round comp. It might be even a 5 for both, mm-hmm, of them. Mm-hmm. That's what I would hope for if they have to be lost. And in Clowney's case, I really hope they regain him. I think he's absolutely critical to what the Ravens do.
I completely agree. That would be the one move I would pound the table for the rest of free agency. And then you pretty much fill out at the rest with the draft, I think, in this cap situation. But, apparently, Tyler Huntley also visiting with the Eagles today to maybe be their backup to Jalen Hurts. So, come a long way from trading him for a second-round pick 2 years ago or whatever. But I don't know. Maybe he can get into the compensatory formula. We'll see.
Fair to say, though, that in the case of Huntley, the Ravens are looking for a reset at this point. They can't afford to pay the backup quarterback $3 or $4 million. They need to find a guy who can do the job at a rookie deal.
Right. So apparently, news broke this morning. Josh Johnson has re-signed with the Ravens on a 1-year pact. No terms disclosed yet. So I guess it's him and Malik Cunningham backing up Lamar. I guess the difference between a rookie and a vet man with the veteran offset is only what, $300K or so?
It's not much. So you get the offset. Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's not much. They put that in the CBA specifically so fifth-year NFL players and thereafter can hang around in the league and not be priced out, mm-hmm, by teams who are getting cheap. And so it's. I thought they tried to make it the same, but it may be the same as a fourth-year player. So, okay. Not exactly sure how they do it. I want to go over the list real quickly of other UFAs. Maybe we talk real quickly about a percentage chance each return. Dalvin Cook, sure, percentage chance he returns.
5.
I'd say 25. And that's, I don't think it's 0. I think they still have room for a player like that. J.K. Dobbins?
0.
Okay, I was going to say 5. I think it's a lot lower with Henry here. We did Josh Johnson already. Mullett,
35.
I was going to say 40. That's a good close on that. Sam Mustipher.
Mustipher, I'd say 70.
Okay, that's pretty good. I was going to say 30. He has good depth at center. The Ravens can't get it otherwise, but he's good depth at center. Van Noy.
50-50.
Okay. He's one of the choices to me, and he's a Sam linebacker, so I think he may have other suitors. I'd probably say 25%, but the Ravens have proven adept at finding value in that bin. It's kind of like you have this free agency process, you have the draft, then you have the bargain bin, and then you also have the UDFAs at the same time the bargain bin is going on, and you've built your practice squad with some priority guys like Mitchell last year, and hopefully they make that work. How about Worley?
Worley, I'd say pretty high. I would say probably about 80%.
Yeah, same as me. I think very, very high percentage. Rock Yassin.
5.
five is good with me. I think I can live with 5. Let's put it that way. I can take there being a 1 in 20 chance. I'd probably prefer not. Now, Zeitler is a strange one. I've got my number.
Yeah, market's been a little soft for him so far, unless he signed since we've been recording. 30.
Okay. I was going to say 15 to 20, and I was kind of vacillating between which to go with. I think he doesn't really fit the Ravens dollar scale. I think otherwise they're very happy with his play. That's really, we knew this was going to be a painful offseason. We knew this would be a very painful offseason. It's why, you know, not kicking the can down the road is very important if you want to have the maximum flexibility. But regardless of the flexibility, when you're a great drafting team like the Ravens, you're forced into these heartbreaking decisions of letting a lot of players that your fan base has become very dear to, have become very dear to your fan base. You have to let them go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the truth of the situation. Lord, I wish we were following the league before the free agency and the salary cap, maybe.
Yeah. So a couple more re-signings. We talked about Harrison a little bit already, and a little unfortunate that's only a one-year deal. Normally, when they're making the commitment to that player, it's a series of two-year deals with a small signing bonus in addition to the vet min, which would have been reasonable. I think Harrison is on track to be an NFL survivor. The way he's made a contribution to the Ravens here. So I'm excited about that. Just nothing to get tremendously excited about what he brings you to the defense other than some snap relief. Yeah, edge setting and snap relief for your outside guys. Clowney can set the edge better than Harrison, but Harrison is in there to relieve him of some snaps and keep Clowney fresh as a pass rusher.
Right. Get Clowney or away or whoever it's going to be. Save them for the most high leverage situations. Also in line to become the special teams captain, I would say, with the departure of Phillips. So yeah, I was on board with that one from the jump. So I like that. I think he fills a role, a defined role that does provide value.
Brent Urban, this is the weirdest thing, but at this point last year, Broderick Washington had not yet been signed. That didn't happen until camp. So the only guy who was returning for 24 was Travis Jones of the five defensive linemen. Now, all five defensive linemen played every freaking snap for the season. First of all, I've never seen that happen before. Never in, all of the Ravens' history of watching defensive linemen. They've had all kinds of terrible injury problems that have happened, particularly to those early Ravens teams. But they've never had five guys, play every snap for the season. And only Jones was signed, and now the entire band is back together for 2024. So it's going to be one of the real strengths, I think, of the Ravens.
Agreed. I think it's definitely one of the strengths of the team. And Urban, as we know, he's probably on the handshake crew already. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably be released and then added back to the roster after players are put on injured reserve. Had a good year last year. I think he had a better year last year than his first then.
Yeah, he definitely had a good year last year than his first year back. He's a really good player when he left the Ravens originally. In 2016, 17, 18, he'd been an ascending player then. And really unfortunate for him that he never really got paid off with a big contract. He's been on the show and talked about how he's not really salty about the situation. I don't know how he could not be. I mean, it's just kind of an unfortunate set of circumstances. The good news is, He's going to play his 10th NFL season.
Right.
And, he hasn't had to go back to the CFL or do any of the other, compromise-y type things. And, that's got to be kind of a cool landmark to hit.
Sure. He was born 10 years too late when teams were paying five techniques and running odd-man front-based defense, a larger portion of the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good player, good career. A 10-year career in the NFL is nothing to overlook.
Good price, fungible at the end of the roster, as you mentioned. Really love it. So I think that is all we have for today. Do you have anything else that we missed? Because we covered a lot of stuff today.
The only other note I had was that they did tender Ardarius Washington with the exclusive rights, which is the method to just keep him in-house for a very cheap number. Other than that, Aguilar, Matabike, Harrison, Urban, Josh Johnson, Ardarius, and the big ticket item, King Henry.
Okay, so ERFAs, let's talk about that for a second. Exclusive right free agent is a guy who isn't a draft pick. So he comes in and then you re-sign him for years two and three specifically. It is a really bad situation the Ravens in that they only have one ERFA candidate on the entire roster. You'd rather have some other undrafted players that you hit on that were there. And I think they might have none actually otherwise, but they may have somebody I'm not thinking of that they could tender, but haven't yet. But it's unfortunate.
Is it Ross? Would Ross be eligible?
Ross would be in there. Yeah. So he would be a good candidate for it. And they probably have other guys in there as well that I'm just not thinking of yet. So maybe it's a case of they've only done one of these contracts. If that's the case, glad they, realized the value of Ardarius, and I think he'll be the slot corner this year.
Agreed. I think he should be. And then the other big news, Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Are you bothered by that?
I'm not bothered by it. Like, I'm scared, but I do think that they got, league average play for a very cheap price, or maybe a little bit, maybe 20th best quarterback in the league for what, $1 million? Because Denver has to eat all the rest of his contract.
It is just a really big benefit for the Steelers to get a player that cheap. I kind of like the fact that the Steelers are not getting younger at quarterback. I think that's generally a very positive thing. I don't think they'll be incented to make a draft pick at quarterback, although they might surprise me, I guess, in that way. They haven't completely gotten rid of Kenny Pickett last year, but that's a first round draft pick down the toilet, in terms of the 20th overall, I think he was, mm-hmm. and a guy who ends his career with what, 13 touchdowns and 13 interceptions or something.
I think, I don't know exactly, but it was unbelievable the touchdown rate.
Yeah. So anyway, Voss, always a ton of fun to do the show with you. Let's tell folks where they can find your work online.
Sure. I am at Vasilis Beatdown on Twitter, X, Vasilis Beatdown. And I am the co-managing editor and an author for Baltimore Beatdown blog.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, any kind of schematic thing is fine. If you want to talk roster construction, if you want to talk anything else about Ravens history or about some particular trend you see, all of those are cool. Multi-part episodes are in the off season. I'm always open to them. I'm recording a lot of contract really quickly, and the draft schedule is about to get unbelievably difficult for me in terms of fitting in and recording things. But I do want to get you on the schedule to do particularly recollection series if you want to do that. So if you have a player you'd like to talk about from Ravens history, not one of the top players ever, hit me up with a DM on Twitter, reserve the player. I will get you on the schedule and we'll record that at some point. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next time on Friday Morning GM.
Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.